B-Pod Studios.
It's the 5 o'clock hour of the Mike Misnelli Show. It's brought to us by Guided Door and Window. Receive 20% off all windows and doors. No money down. Up to 3 years of paid off interest free. Call Guided Door and Window today. 1-877-GO-GUIDA or visit them online at goguida.com. I'm laughing because I'm looking at this tweet from Violations Greg. Have you seen this?
With which
all,
one?
All the people at your house.
Yeah, I know.
Looking at that little itty bitty TV on the wall.
There's no audience in a living room looking at a post-it stamp on a wall.
Look, it's getting settled. God. Ty's going to help me.
That's hysterical.
Sal Pal's giving, Ty's going to get the TV from me from Sal Pal. Thank you to my coworkers.
All right. I hope Sal Pal doesn't give you like something that was an old big screen.
He said it was only a year old.
A year old?
Yeah.
Top of the line.
Well, how come he's getting rid of it?
He replaced it
with a bigger one. Well, I get a TV every year.
You do?
Every year?
Yeah.
Every year?
Yeah, the technology gets better, gets thinner, gets lighter.
Yeah, I understand that.
And you know what? I should buy my wife flowers because every year she helps me mount it on the wall.
She does?
Every year.
You didn't hear it flesh out this flower story. Yeah. So this is in the courting stage, Ty courting Elizabeth, and
yep.
This is before the marriage?
Yes, years before.
And you sent her flowers?
I brought them, so I went to visit.
So you went to a grocery store, and you grabbed something out of a pile, and you knocked on the door?
No, she had went back to school.
Yeah.
So we had put parameters on how often we could see each other to make sure she finished strong with college, because she had went back to school at the time.
Uh-huh.
She was doing great. And I remember she knew I was coming. So I thought, oh, this will be nice. I'll stop and get some flowers at like a proper florist, not like
I'm not here to judge.
Florist flowers.
Your flower.
I bought the flowers. I didn't find them.
Whatever flowers would work.
I bring them.
Mm-hmm.
I got nothing. It was, like, I literally nothing to the point where I am just
you got no reaction?
No reaction. I am just putting them on the dining room table, and we sat and watched TV.
I've heard Elizabeth's side of this. I didn't tell Ty. She texted me.
She
said she was just very surprised to get flowers, so she didn't know how to react.
Come on, man.
That's what she told me, and she loves flowers. She also told me that.
I got to be on Ty's side here. You bring flowers, you should get a reaction. Oh, these are so beautiful. Can I put them in? Let me put them in a vase. And, you know, you have to have a reaction to it.
It was nothing.
Well, that's what she said. She didn't know how to react because she wasn't. She was just very surprised.
But
she would like flowers again. I asked her for a side. No. She texted me.
I tell her this. Tell her we mount one more TV, and you got it, honey.
I can't.
I thought you were out forever. Wait, you softened up now?
He's thinking about a new TV.
When I get a new TV, I have her holding it while I got to hold it and screw in for the mount and stuff. She helps with all that. She goes the extra mile.
Yeah, I get that. But the Tyrone I know would probably say something like, I'm not even bringing you a dandelion. How's that?
I did say that at the time.
Not even a weed.
I did say that at the time.
Oh, of course you did. All right, let's go Doobie and Ambler. Doobie, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hey, what's going on, man?
What's up, Doobie?
Same issue, different tissue, bro.
There you go, bro.
Hey, yo, Mike. First of all, I know this is late, but I want to say I appreciate you what you did for me at Fantasy Fest, man. Signing that article that you wrote for my mom, man. I appreciate that.
You know what? It's amazing now that I make the connection. That my first job in the business, your mom was a track star.
How you doing?
That's hysterical to me. Now, that is amazing. She brought a picture of a story I wrote on my first job out of college, and she was like an all-star track runner. She had me sign it. That was very cool, Doobie.
No, we appreciate you, man. Like, we had a rough summer, man. That made her summer, man. She got that framed up in the crib, man. I appreciate you, man.
That's so cool.
And then I want to bring up, that Ben Simmons shot, man, I'm not going to be happy. It was cool and all. Everybody went crazy. All right, like, good for everybody. But look, I'm not going to be happy till he come off a screen. Hit one from the elbow, post a little guard up, fade away. Mm-hmm. That's what I need to see.
Exactly what I need to see. So we're on the same page there. In the flow of an offense, I need the shot.
Yeah. And look, I'm going to tell you something right now. If we don't see it this year, I know you got mad at me for saying it before, but he got to go.
You're talking about the manager?
No.
Who are you talking about? The guy who got to go?
I'm talking about Bennett, man. You can't.
Oh, Bennett? No. You can't. No, come on. You see what he does on the floor, though? I mean, even against that bad competition, it's breathtaking.
Man, look, I understand it. He's a good. I mean, look, he runs the floor, and I get it, and yeah. I understand it. But if he can't give me a consistent 10, even a 12, 10, that's not much to ask. I mean, you got to go. I'm done with it.
All right. Doobie, here's your general knowledge question. It is songs, professions in the title of songs.
Here we go. All right.
This is probably an easy one. The son of a blank man.
Preacher man?
Yes, sir. Son of a preacher man.
That song is.
That's Aretha.
Yeah, but the lyrics. That's a rough song. Ooh. Yeah, don't let your kids read about that song.
Really?
I haven't even
noticed that.
During the next break.
Look up
the lyrics.
All right. But right now, we got to take care of some business with the Eagles. And Tim McManus, covering Eagles for ESPN.com. And the midweek report is brought to us by Rosenbaum Injury Law, the power of justice for accidents, malpractice, or nursing and abuse. Remember, Rosenbaum, more than two decades helping our community. Timmy Mack, in the middle of a week, not much buzz for this Eagles game. Are the fans a little nervous about this game? Is that what you're getting?
I think they know that it's a pretty tough task for this team. Now, the Eagles have had success against Minnesota, a lot of that coming at home, but recognize, you know, being without DeSean Jackson, going on the road against a good defense, one of the best running backs in the NFL, good complement of wide receivers. I think that there's probably energy that's going to build up for this game. But, yeah, overconfidence probably not on the docket this week.
All right. So, you know, they're going to contend with some skill players, obviously. And but they're number one against the run. So, you know, Dalvin Cook's not going to go wild, is he? So, I mean, this is a matter of getting Cousins into the long downs and letting him make mistakes like he usually does. Isn't that the simple game plan?
Yeah, I think that's pretty spot on, and Fletcher Cox was just talking at his locker stall a few minutes ago about how this defense likes when you get a running opponent, because not only it plays into what they do best as a defense, but also because they know it's going to be a physical game. They know that the defensive line is going to be in the spotlight, and that's exactly how they like it. If Cousins isn't effective in passes, especially early, then I think it turns into that kind of game that you're talking about, Mike, where, you know, they try to run. It's strength on strength, and the Eagles are able to kind of hang on and get Cousins into those third and unfavorables. You know, the way that it goes the other way on this team, I think, is that if Cousins does find some success through the air, and certainly, you know, opponents have been able to do that to this point, he does have a couple good weapons at his disposal, and that loosens up the ground game, that's where they get into trouble. So they just, you know, they have to, I think that they're going to take care of their business initially on the ground. They'll get loosened up if they can't take care of their business on the back end. That's the key to me.
All right. What do you take from it's hard to get any take from last week's game. What were the good things and what were the bad things, if any, that you could spot out of last week's game?
I think defensively, the fact that Fletcher Cox was looking a little bit more like himself. He was joking today that he's like, you know, I wish I had a sack. Can I buy a sack somewhere? Like, I'm not used to not having any sacks at this point in my career, but he was getting credit from a couple of his fellow players and also coaches influencing some of those sacks and interceptions that happened. So I do feel like he's starting to come on a little bit more. That would probably be the big takeaway. And I also think that beyond Brandon Graham having favorable matchups, I think that he is starting to play at a high level and that Jim Schwartz is using him inside now. Just something you probably should have been doing all along, you know, that I think we'll see moving forward. And then offensively, I think it's right to be a little bit concerned about what this offense looks like without DeSean Jackson. You know, they've dropped all the way down to 22nd in the NFL in passing plays of 20-plus yards. They started out like gangbusters when Jackson was in. It's been just this kind of plodding offense, you know, with some good things happening on the ground. But they have to find some way to make these explosive plays happen because, you know, they're not going to have Jackson in this game, and they're going to need to find ways to put some points on the board.
So what do you think those ways are? I think the easy thing is that Aguilar has to contribute a little bit. He's not contributing at all. They're not even targeting him, but Alshon's not getting, you know, off that much either. And, you know, Mac Hollins seems to be inferior. So what do they really have? What can we expect?
Yeah, well, I think, number one, coaching. I think that that Peterson did a good job 2 weeks ago of scheming up, you know, some big play opportunities for them. There's a couple that were available last week, but Aguilar wasn't able to come down with it. I mean, there were some penalties involved. There would be penalties involved. So I think that you have to try to go back to the well with Aguilar a little bit and see, like, to me, this is, you know, I circle him in this game. And it's got to come from somewhere. And I don't think it's coming from Jeffrey on these, like, you know, I don't think he's got that burner speed right now. So I think that Aguilar is really the guy that has to get it done. And otherwise, you know, Miles Sanders has turned into a nice weapon out of the backfield in the passing game. So maybe you dial up one or two of those wheel routes. See if you can get them in space that way.
There are a lot of people that, and I don't know that it's feasible at all, but a lot of people is saying, why won't they try Miles Sanders in the slot? And it's, I try to explain to people, it's hard to throw a guy into a position that he doesn't know, and there's a lot of intricacies you have to know to play that position. But is that discussed ever?
I think that they'll go with that look where they take him out of the backfield and line him up along the line, which can be effective, but. You know, the reason that you don't just line somebody up a running back as a slot receiver is even somebody like Darren Sproles, you become very limited in the amount of routes that you're able to run from that formation. Like, receivers are working that all the time. They have intricate knowledge of that position. Running back, you have a completely different focus. And so, you know, your knowledge of the route tree and the intricacies of the system from a wide receiver standpoint just aren't there for you. So that's why you can't do it too much, but you know they'll mess with some looks that way to try to throw Minnesota off. I'm sure, like they have in previous weeks.
All right, the secondary. Now they're going to be facing some pretty decent skill position players, and listen, this quarterback can get the ball down the field. So we got Rasul Douglas and Scandrick. Is Sidney Jones going to be playing, and is he going to help? Like, and what's the status on Jalen Mills?
Every week, it seems like Sidney Jones is a question related to whether he's going to be available and how that hamstring is. I mean, it's just been an ongoing saga for this guy. But he was a full participant today, so that is a good signal that he is going to be available for this game. I think that the best-case scenario for them is a healthy Sidney Jones opposite Rasul Douglas with Orlando Scandrick working in the slot. And, Scandrick played pretty well in that game. And, you know, talking to him this week, you know, It turns out that there was a miscommunication between Howie Roseman and Scandrick's agent that led to him not being back on this roster week two. So maybe he could have helped before. That's kind of an undertold story. But I think the fact that he is back now, veteran presence, did well operating out of the nickel position last week, I think that he can be a boost for you. As far as Jalen Mills goes, there seem to be positive signals that he can return to practice once he's eligible to, which is after he, the PUP eligibility week six. So, but he's been on ice for like a year. So whether he's able to jump right back into the action remains to be seen. But they're at least optimistic that he can get back on the practice field as soon as he's eligible.
Did you get the impression, I know sometimes we read into things, but sometimes words can make you read into things. Did you get the impression that Doug Peterson is not that happy with the availability of Sidney Jones?
That wasn't my takeaway. I was kind of more thinking it from the standpoint of him talking about him having to push through, talking about sort of the confidence level that you have to be attentive towards when you have a guy that's been injured all that much. So, and I don't think that Peterson's like of the stance that he needs to put pressure on this guy right now. I think what they probably need to do is try to support him, lift him up, and make him as confident as possible. So that wasn't my read, but maybe I wasn't as in tune to it because a couple people have mentioned that, but I just that's not kind of where my ear was tuned towards when he said that.
All right. How'd you feel about the 3-point shot that Ben Simmons made last night?
I loved it. That's awesome. I loved how people reacted like it was a game-winning shot, in the NBA Finals, and how Embiid came running over to him, and everybody was egging him on. I mean, it was tremendous theater. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, it was pretty good. What it means, down the road, we'll figure it out.
Yeah, as good as it gets for preseason anyway,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly. Yeah. All right, Timmy, good stuff. We'll talk to you.
All right, always, Mike. Thanks.
Tim McManus with the Midweek Report, brought to us by Rosenbaum Injury Law, the power of justice for accidents, malpractice, or nursing ambiguities. Remember Rosenbaum. More 2 decades help our community. Speaking of that basketball game last day, did you find it odd that the names of the Chinese team players were in Chinese and not English?
No.
You didn't? Because I didn't know who they were. Right. I would like to attach a name to the player.
Right, but
what's the point of having it in Chinese?
They just brought their uniforms.
Well, the NBA has a lot of money, don't they?
So you're saying the NBA should have gave them some uniforms?
The NBA Chinese team are playing here. The NBA could provide jersey with their contract with who's their contract with Nike?
Yeah, but that
would spell, you know, like there are a couple American players on that roster, right?
But there's been, we've been talking about this, there's a few billion people available to watch that game also in China. And if you put all the American names on it, then all those billions of people don't know who they are necessarily.
How about both names? How about both?
You got to fit them both on there?
Why not?
Nah.
You get the Chinese letters, and underneath it, you got the American. What's the problem?
Nah.
No? What's that? You're going to cost too much?
No, it's that.
What?
You've just had their uniforms. So that the Chinese, people, that not China, the Chinese people can see their
What about the American people?
Why do you care?
I would like to know who they were. Yes. There wasn't, one of their names weren't mentioned the whole night. I didn't know who was who. They didn't mention Andrew Nicholson. Now, I kind of knew it was Andrew Nicholson, but there are a couple other American players in there. I would like to see Fogg on the back of the guy's jersey. Give him a little recognition in America. Come
well, if
on,
you
man.
Make a shot, then you get the public address announcer would say it.
Let's go to Kay in South Jersey. Kay, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Kay.
Hey, Mikey. Thanks for having me on.
What's up, Kay?
It's been 10 years, by the way.
Thanks, bud.
Last time I seen you, I think I was pounding on the stage at FanFest when AI walked up.
Oh, there you go.
What a
moment, huh?
It was a good time that day. I just wanted to talk about the shot, man. We should not let people outside of the city make us feel bad about celebrating that. I mean, you know, I think that comes second in Philadelphia sports behind the Eagles' success. That, I mean, him hitting that shot could potentially represent, you know, getting over that hump. And I mean, that's what we were waiting for. That's what we were asking for. And I think,
I don't have any problem with the way the fans reacted.
Not at all.
Me, I need a little more because I'm a natural cynic and I can't go like, okay, he made a three. The world's right now.
Yeah, no, we definitely need him to, and it's not about the 3-point shot. Mm-hmm. It's not even about the mid range. We need you to pull up. We need you to pull up and make them respect that to stretch the floor.
See, I agree. I agree with that. But did he do that in the game?
And the thing you got to understand is when someone adds something new to their game, they have to work it in. He's not just going to come up and shoot 10 jumpers a game.
Well, how about one?
He's going to eventually. I definitely agree. I think he'll eventually, you know, bring that into his
game. But wasn't it frustrating to you? It was frustrating to me. I tweeted Tyrone. I was out of my mind. That I watched the whole half, and this newfangled shot didn't appear until he fired that three.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think that I think he's still working on it. But as you can see, Embiid was like egging him, like, "Go ahead, man. You got to pull up." Uh-huh. And I think that he needed that. He needed that shot to go in. He needed us to react how we reacted. And I think it's going to be good. I think that shot represents the future success of the Sixers. And I think that's what everybody else feels. And that's why you get that reaction. And people that are not Sixers fans are not going to feel it. Mm-hmm. And don't let those people make us feel.
I agree. Listen, it was a great moment. And I wanted people to embrace the moment and talk about it. I'm just saying, okay, I got the moment. Did it solve the million-dollar question for me? It did, yeah, it did not
million,
yet.
$160 million question?
Yeah, well, there you go. All right, man, you want a general knowledge question?
Yes.
Yeah, sure. All right, here we go. General knowledge category. What kind of a bird is known as the ugly duckling?
What kind of bird is known as the ugly duckling?
Yes. Well, what kind of bird is the ugly duckling? If you remember the ugly duckling, what kind of bird was that? The fairy tale, the ugly duckling?
I don't know, so I'm going to give an educated guess here, which is not that educated. was it a platypus?
A platypus? That's a great answer, but it's incorrect. The platypus is not the correct answer. The ugly duckling was the swan.
That's right. I said platypus too, but platypus is not a bird.
Well, what was the story of the ugly duckling? I can't remember the story. Was it a homely bird? Is that what it was?
He was homely as a duckling.
At birth, it was homely at birth, and it turned into a beautiful swan?
Yes.
Late bloomer.
It was a late bloomer.
Yeah, those are the best people to find.
Was it late bloomer?
Late bloomers.
Pretty much.
Well, suppose the duckling would have stayed ugly. Wouldn't that have made more sense? The ugly duckling gets as much respect as the pretty duckling?
Well, yeah, well, now. That's an old story, though.
Yeah, see, the old story. It's the difference between today and yesteryear.
Yeah.
Yeah, the ugly duckling had to turn into a beautiful swan to get respect. Nowadays, you can stay ugly and get respect.
No.
Well, now what?
I don't know.
Like, nah, there's a lot of stories out there, people being mean. People are still mean. They're still mean.
People are still so mean.
Well, that's what I'm saying. The story would exemplify you shouldn't judge people like that.
Oh, yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
That would be nice.
The story which should be written that way. But it was who wrote that story? That was
Hans
Christian Andersen,
yeah.
Right? Wrote Ugly Duck?
I think so.
All right. We're coming back with your call. Sound off is coming your way soon right here on 97.5 The Fanatic, NBC Sports Philly.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
'97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, it's time for the final Twitter poll. By the way, there was a meme that came out of the game last night. I saw it on John Clark's Twitter. With Ben Simmons holding the three in the wilt pose.
Yeah, I saw it.
All right, time for the final Twitter poll numbers brought to us by Paul B. Moyer and Sons. Attention landscapers, if you're looking to repower a zero turn or a walk behind mower, Moyer has the best of those around for an engine replacement, and they have them in stock. Just visit paulbmoyer.com for all the details. Natalie.
Thanks, Mike. We have over 1,700 votes, actually 1,776 votes on our poll today. Does the three-point shot from last night change your opinion on Ben Simmons? 42% says yes, 58% say no.
All righty. By the way, for you Braves haters, get ready to be happy. At least it wasn't the team that won the Phillies division that's going to advance. The Cardinals are whacking the Braves 10-0 in the first inning. The first inning! Fulton Evans got hammered. He gave up 5 hits, and I guess he gave up all 10 runs. They brought in Max Fried in the first inning. 10-0. They're out of it already.
Yeah.
Where's the games in Atlanta? The game's in Atlanta. Yeah. The first inning, your team goes down 10-0. You're done. Yeah, you got no tomahawk chop. You got nothing.
Well, that's good. The no chop. And I feel a lot better because, you know, I was afraid. I'm going to have to keep watching this team make a run.
It doesn't change the fact that Atlanta is still better than the Phillies by miles, does it?
It doesn't, but at least I don't have to watch them tomorrow or another day and I won't see them again. I can't
believe that they scored 10 runs in the first inning.
I mean, and I know you can
right out.
And I know you can chip away, but that makes the wild assumption that the Cardinals won't score again.
I think they did it without a home run. He just got raked.
That's hard to do. And he pitched well in his other start, but oh well.
The season over. Mark and Blackwood, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Mark. Yo, Mark.
How you doing today?
What's up, buddy?
I'm doing all right. So I got a violation question for you on bathroom etiquette.
Yes, sir.
And
my specialty.
Talk about Phillies. So.
Uh-huh.
All right, so I'm going to use my work as a scenario. Small bathroom, 2 urinals. Mm-hmm. Is it a violation to pass gas? And so you don't know the coworker you're sitting
next
to while you're handling your business.
Whether you know the person or not, it's a violation.
Wow. Okay.
Now, some people can't help it, right? They're the pressure on their bladder forces that. But if you do it willingly, you're an idiot. Well, you're letting somebody else exist in your own stank. What's appropriate about that? Really?
I mean, you're in the bathroom, so that's why we had to go out.
But it's not really. It's not a bathroom. A bathroom is your bathroom. You go in and you do your business by yourself. This is a shared situation. You gotta have some
etiquette.
I agree,
but I just feel
you can go to a stall and maybe pass gas. You can't do it at a urinal.
All right, that's going to be my follow-up question, because we were talking about this at work, so that was been my follow-up question, so that's all.
Yeah, at least you got a little, you know, it's still, I think, inappropriate, but it's not like you're doing it blatantly in somebody's presence.
No. Right, exactly. No. So, yeah, as far as, I was going to talk to the Eagles, but I don't want the X now that the Braves are getting their butts whooped, and that makes me more than happy as well. you know, Dave has to go, and I called the morning show, I think, last week. And when you go 9-10 against the Marlins, regardless of injuries, your roster is still better than that poop squad, that you shouldn't go 9-10 against the Marlins. And on that reason alone, Gabe should go.
Whatever he did, I understand they lost some players, but whatever he did was not good enough. And there's nobody that can say it was. So I don't understand it.
I don't understand why Middleton, that's the only thing I would look at, because that game, that series alone, puts you in the wild card or not. You know, you take nine of those balls and put four or five wins in, you might be in the wild card.
I totally agree, man. Totally.
It just blows my mind that it's taken him this long, and the longer he takes, the longer I feel like, the more I think he's going to stay. And, and that's, you know, I was indifferent about the manager anyway, regardless, but that stood out to me at the end of the season. And
no, you're absolutely right.
It made me sick.
All right, here's your general knowledge question. Movie set in Texas. All right, so let's go with this one here. A bunch of Gen X slackers living in Houston have problems, which probably seem like a big deal in the 1990s, starring Winona Ryder.
Gen X problems, Winona Ryder. I feel like I should know this, but I have no clue.
All right, well, it's Reality Bites is the movie. You know, not exactly a household movie name. All right. Here's what Klintak is saying to Middleton. Listen, John, all due respect, you hired me because you trusted me. You gave me an extension because you trust me. I'm asking you to trust me now. I like this manager. We're going to be better next year. That's got in Middleton's head and heart. And he's probably staying up at night going, do I cross the guy that I trusted? Or do I let him go through with his plan?
But couldn't Middleton say, well, why did I spend $500 million and this manager only won one extra game there, Clinton?
And the same answer comes back. Listen, John, you trusted me. This guy did a good job, actually, and here's my stats to prove it, and it's put him on his heels. Now, if I'm John Middleton, I've seen enough, and I don't care what Klintak tells me. I've seen enough to make a change. It's warranted to make a change, so I would supersede the whole process.
But shouldn't he be questioning Klintak's ability as a GM? Like, maybe he could say, well, I don't know if I trust your judgment, because look what you did with my starting pitching staff.
He would say, well, he trusted my judgment in April to give me an extension. Why'd you lose trust on me?
Because you did a poor job. I made a mistake.
I'm just telling you what I think Middleton's going through right now.
All right.
Let's go, Patrick in Plymouth Meeting. Patrick, you're on 97.5 Fanatic. Patrick.
Mike.
What's up, Pat?
Embiid is a student of the game, correct?
I guess.
So he should look at Jabbar and learn how to make the skyhook. He scored the most points ever.
Yeah, I get it. What? But I don't know if Joel needs the skyhook to be a dominant player. He's a lot bigger than Jabbar was. Jabbar used that as a weapon because his body wasn't as beefy, and so that was a way he could get off a shot without getting jostled. And B doesn't have to worry about that. He just powered the basket.
I just think he should study Lou Alcindor and learn how to do the skyhook.
Well, he studied Olajuwon. He's got Olajuwon moves. Now, Jabbar didn't have those moves, and B's got the Olajuwon move. You know, he doesn't have to have the skyhook.
Oh, and I wanted to ask Ty, are there any native black people in China?
Are there any native black people in China?
No. There's some black people in China, but it's a closed society for a reason.
They just play basketball?
They're Americans that went over there.
Yeah, they're Americans, bro. Come on, man. What are you, Stu Nod? They're American players. That's why I wanted their names on the back. I wanted to know who they were. All right. Good way to close the show, huh? Coming up in five is Sound Off right here, 97.5 The Fanatic, NBC Sports Philly.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic. It's time for you to sound off.
Sound off. You gotta be facing me. What is the hell are you doing?
You got a beef? It's time for you to sound off.
Oh man, that's irritating.
You don't feel this energy that's going down right now. Number five will always love you.
Chance to tell Mikey Miss what you're fired up about today. Brought to you by the Minimally Invasive Spine Institute at Rothman Orthopedics. Minimally invasive, maximally effective. RothmanSpine.com. Let's keep going. Sound off.
All right, it's time for Sound Off. Don't forget the Ron Jaworski Show will follow this particular show tonight. 6 to 7, Ron Jaworski Show is live from Ramblewood Country Club. And our winner of the Temple football versus Memphis tickets, Mike Rakowski from Philadelphia. Congratulations to Mike. Sound Off is 610-771-9705. If you got something to say, hit us up on that line. Leave us a message, and we'll see if you make it to the big show.
Ben Simmons takes the three, makes the three, still gets criticized. What if he picked the three and broke the three? Imagine what the story would be. That's why if you're a pro athlete, you just can't listen to these social medias. You just can't listen.
You know, we brought up that the narrative would have been completely different. It was a good thing that he made it because it created an exciting narrative. It would have created a disappointing narrative had he missed that shot because people say, see, he still hasn't made the three. And he didn't take a medium-range jump shot in the game.
So I'm watching the Sixers, and I just saw Magic Johnson, I mean Ben Simmons, make a three ball. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Jesus is probably a fan of Ben's game. Get up and down.
Thanks, everybody.
Jesus would be able to get down the floor quicker because he would just have to snap his fingers and he'd be there.
Yeah. Right? Is that what he did? He just did a little...
Well, whatever. He twitched his nose. Whatever he did to get from one place to the other.
It's Wednesday, 2 p.m. Day 12 of Capitol Rush. Still no word from anyone on the inside. Still no word from anyone. Why is there no word from anyone about anything?
The owner hasn't made a decision. And at this point, it's I'm sure he's going to have a good reason. When he comes out with a decision, he's going to have a good reason to spin for the people. We'll just have to wait and see.
Why is this decision with Gabe Kapler taking so long? Is it the fact that they really want to be able to control their manager? I mean, because if that's the case, obviously we see what happens when they got their hands on the manager. It's a mess. This team can't do anything. They need a baseball guy who's going to deal with the game and manage the game.
I don't think it's because they want to control the manager. I just think that the owner doesn't know what to do at this point in regards to Gabe Kapler, cross the general manager, or demand that he bring in somebody else. I think he's really tied in knots about it, and he shouldn't be.
As a Boston fan, it cracks me up when I see a bar full of Philly fans erupt like they won the NBA title after Ben Simmons hits a three-pointer. How hilarious is that?
Did he say he was a Boston fan?
Yeah.
Wow. Listen, I feel sorry for you because your team, once viable, is no longer in the championship picture. So I understand you have to find something to try to get under fan skin. They're not buying it. They're in the driver's seat. You're not.
These Vikings, you have no chance in this game. Yes, the Eagles have woken up from their slumber with the offense, if you call 27 points a game a slumber. Captain Kirk Cousins, do what you do best. Throw for 390 and two critical interceptions. This is a typical 40-24 win Eagles.
That 27 points per game is really misleading. Two touchdowns defensively, and they got short fields in what game was it where they scored a couple touchdowns? I don't think they don't look like a 27 point per game team to me.
Mike, did you hear Jason Stark on the morning show when he said who makes up the lineup for the Phillies this past season was Matt Glentak? Are you kidding me? If that's true, why would any manager in all baseball manage the Phillies?
I didn't hear what Jason said. I don't think he said that Matt Glentak makes the lineup.
I got to find it.
He might have said Matt Glentak influences the lineup, but he doesn't make the lineup. I can't imagine Jason saying that. I'd have to hear it.
I don't care how big or fancy this new stupid scoreboard is. If they think that they can raise prices to pay for this damn thing, they got another thing coming. They have a lot of nerve to raise prices on us, the hardworking paying customers that are not winning a playoff series for 7 years.
You don't understand marketing. See, this is the team that everybody's picking to go to the NBA Finals. So if they're ever going to raise it and take a price, it would be now. They got you. Sorry.
The other part is the Sixers have won a play. He must be talking about the Flyers haven't won a. They haven't won a playoff series in 7 years.
The Flyers. Are you talking about the Flyers?
The Sixers won one in the last 2 years.
Maybe you're talking about the Sixers not winning a championship yet and raising ticket prices. But this is the year you would do it if you're going to raise it.
Mike, I don't know if you were watching, but Max Scherzer is proof positive that the Phillies need a stud at the top of the rotation. One that refuses to lose when it counts.
Yeah, they're not easy to find. There's one on the free agent market. They got to pay him a ton. We'll see if they do it. They have to get a manager first. All right, close down.
That's the best of the best today of Sound. Brought to you by the Minimally Invasive Spine Institute at Rothman Orthopedics. Minimally invasive, maximally effective. RothmanSpine.com. Got a beef?
I don't like them.
What are they?
Because I don't like
them. Brain. Leave it at 610-771-9705. And listen tomorrow at 5:45 to see if your sound dog gets on.
See you later.
All right, that concludes the show. By the way, Braves are getting beat 11-0 now, back-to-back doubles. Roman Quinn is warming up for the Braves. He's coming in. Stay tuned. The Jaworski Show live from Ramblewood, leading into Flyers hockey. And guess what? And NBC Sports Philadelphia Quick Slants will lead you into the Flyers pregame show. Have a great night, everybody. Talk to you tomorrow.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.